to the She Leads podcast. I'm your host, Adrienne Garland, CEO and founder of She Leads Media, a global media company dedicated to the advancement of women leaders and entrepreneurs worldwide. I'm also an adjunct professor at NYU and Rice University, where I teach on the topic of entrepreneurship. I'm a mom to two wonderful young men and married to my best friend from college. Join me each week as I dive into raw conversations with remarkable, uncompromising, and inspirational women entrepreneurs and leaders. My hope is that these conversations and their advice will encourage you to put yourself out there and gain the visibility that you and all women deserve. We're all about stripping away the sugar-coated conversations and moving boldly in the direction of our magnificent dreams. For far too long, women have been conditioned to soften their words, modify their actions, and show up in the world to conform to outdated at best and harmful at worst cultural norms and ideals. Why? To keep those who are outside of the power structures from gaining power, prestige, wealth, and influence. This has prevented women from being recognized and respected as the powerful leaders that we truly are. The She Leads podcast is here to shine the light on all the incredible women, to encourage us to show up, speak up, and showcase the amazing work we do. Speak with confidence about the innovative and transformational thoughts that we have, and celebrate the positive impact that we are making in this world, both personally and professionally. So let's do this. Let's lead. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the She Leads podcast. This episode and the rest of our podcast episodes are brought to you by the She Leads Podcast Network. It's the podcast network for women by women. So my guest today is someone who is super exciting. I cannot wait for you to meet her. Her name is Lucy Vincent, and she's a trained marketer with a history of working for top brands like Grey Goose, Rolex, and Amex. She's leveraged her social media mastery to scale her agency to seven figures. Recognizing the need for a unique approach, she founded the Agency Accelerator, guiding freelancers to build sustainable, wildly profitable agencies. Her vision is laser-focused on financial freedom, impact, and empowering women entrepreneurs, which I truly love. But her cheese obsession and straight-shooting New York attitude toward helping women build wealth is what truly captivated my attention. Welcome to the She Leads podcast, Lucy.
Thank you so much for that intro. I'm blushing over here.
Well, it's amazing and you're amazing. So let's I guess, maybe start from the beginning. It's always good to kind of get background in history. So did you sort of start out in the whole field of social media as a freelancer? And is that sort of what led you to, you know, solve the problem that so many freelancers have?
Yeah, well, how much time do you have?
Yeah. We got all the time.
I was always extremely interested in marketing. I got a degree from college for marketing. Then I went into a sales development role. And then I went on to do marketing within a SaaS company and was launching SaaS brands and all of that stuff. And I just at one point was like, you know what? I'm tired of building somebody else's dream rather than my own.
Yep.
I don't feel super appreciated in this role. I'm not being compensated the way I want to. So I did something that my mom was like, you're crazy. I just quit without a backup plan. Oh, and I was like, I'm going to figure it out. I can't handle this anymore. And I actually was in about like $20,000 of credit card debt. And I say I burned all the boats. I didn't have an choice but to figure it out and make it work. And I was really lucky with the experience that I did have because there was sales development there. There was marketing development, but I just started throwing spaghetti against the wall. Mm. And this was back in 2017. So social was, brands didn't even know what was up with social at that point. So it was a lot of education and just communicating with my ideal clients. And I say what makes me a great mentor at this point is that I made all of the mistakes. Like anybody that knows me, do not put me on a pedestal. I'm super goofy. I make mistakes all of the time, but I just think my persistence and getting back up and learning from those mistakes is what is what has allowed me to scale to 7 figures and have such a beautiful team and such a beautiful support system and impact so many women worldwide. So that's a little bit about my background.
I love your background. And, you know, there are so many guiding stories, right? So many people say, don't, you know, start a business, like start the side hustle first. And then when it makes as, you know, a good amount of revenue that you can replace your salary, then go over. But, you know, sometimes we do just need to cut the tie, slash and burn. And especially when you're maybe a little bit younger, it's easier to do that. And yes, credit card debt is no joke, and it can just spiral out of control. But I think that it's probably your New York attitude and resiliency, right? That you knew that you had what it took to at least figure it out. I mean, I know that Marie Forleo has the book, like, everything is figure outable. And I really agree with that, especially if you have the attitude of service, that you are there to help other businesses and now other, you know, freelancers and things like that to really solve a problem that they're facing. And the more that you can sort of open your ears to what the problems are, the better solution that you can come up with. So I love this. So I teach at NYU. I teach entrepreneurship and business plan development. And it's so much fun. And it's so cool. And I always talk about fear and failure. And so many of the students just think like their lives are going to be over. There's not going to be any money. You know, they're going to be living on the street. And there's so many lessons there. So you talked about, like, you know, you made all the mistakes and everything. Can you talk about how those mistakes and then sort of getting to the 7 figures, like, how did that happen? Because everybody wants this.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say make as many mistakes as you can as fast as possible to scale, because that's really what you learn from. When you can dissect something, I always tell our clients, like, you need to treat your business like a professional athlete in terms of what are athletes doing after a game? They're watching their game tapes. They're looking at what did I do well? What did I do wrong? How can I improve in the future? And I think a lot of people are so worried to make a mistake, and I'm a Virgo, so like perfectionism like runs in my blood. And I had to let go of that at a certain point to understand that, hey, if I want to make the impact that I am here to have, I can show up and have a typo. I can have a flop. I had contractors run away. Like, my contracts weren't set up appropriately. I had a contractor run away with a client that was paying me $7,500 a month, so almost 6 figures a year. Oh, nice. I've had team members completely backstab me, steal clients, poison my team. I've made mistakes with clients before, right? I have had not bad boundaries. I think for women, especially, our people pleasing nature that we've grown up with being told, like, be a good girl and put everybody's needs in front of yourself. You really have to, like, retrain your brain to say it's okay and it's safe and I'm able to set boundaries, because that's going to allow me to serve my clients better than having them text me at 2 a.m. and ask for changes. I remember one Easter, a client texted me at like 4 a.m. Easter morning and was like, hey, can you change the post for today? I was like, back in old me, was like, yeah, absolutely. Now I'd be like, nobody.
On it. Listen, I think there's like a good part of that to be responsive and to, you know, demonstrate that you do care, but I totally agree with you. Like, the boundary setting, I think the boundary setting is the thing that sets you up for success. Otherwise, you are literally just doing whatever the client is asking of you. And what happens, and I've seen this dynamic shift even myself, is you go in as the expert, right? You're the social media or the marketing expert or whatever. And then your client starts asking you for all of these things that you wouldn't necessarily do, but you do them to make them happy. And then all of a sudden, you're just an order taker. You're just doing what they're asking of you. And the dynamic, the power dynamic changes. And then they say they're not happy. Well, they're not happy because mm-hmm. they're the ones that are directing it. And they hired you in the first place to be the expert, but they don't listen to you as the expert.
100%. Right? Absolutely. I always tell my clients to say, like, this is your baby and we can absolutely do it the way that you want to do it. I'm happy to do that. But then I don't know what the results are going to be because I'm talking from experience. And based on my experience, these have been the results of doing this. And that hasn't worked previously. So yes. It's up to you. Let us know how you want us to proceed. And then the clients are like, oh, you've seen better yeah. results doing it this other way? Like, no, you do it your way.
You do and it I your think way. It's a, yeah. yeah. That, see, that's a really great strategy. I love that sort of shift. Like, we are here to accommodate, but we are the experts. So I do like also, but we don't know what the results are going to be with that because that has not worked in the past. That's such mm-hmm. a great way to sort of turn that around and continue to sort of hold the expertise. Not that anyone knows better. There's always experimentation going on, right? So how does one sort of move out of the if they want to, move out of the freelancer role and into more of an agency owner or a, you know, someone who runs an agency and actually hires people? How do they move from one place to another?
I think first it's really getting clear on your vision and seeing like, do I really want to manage a team long term, or do I want this to be just a one man show? So one, it's clarity. Two, then I like to look at like, okay, what systems and processes do we need to put in place? Because a lot of freelancers are just managing everything in their head, right? They have no project management, they have no systems, no processes. So it's not scalable. And then when somebody, they go and they hire their first hire, they're like, hey, can you do X, Y, Z? And there's no real explanation of what that task is. There's no, they don't know how to do it. And so then we get frustrated when somebody, we hire a freelancer or a consultant to come on with us and we expect them to read our minds. And mm-hmm. then they get frustrated. It doesn't work out. So systems and processes that they're not sexy. I'm not like the organization nerd, but they're really important to scale your business and to step into that CEO role. So I would say that is like one of the most crucial parts to being able to set yourself up for success to hire a team and move into that agency role.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I used to listen to this podcast. I think it's still around, but the concept is just so amazing. It's from founder to CEO. And it's mm-hmm. such a difference with mindset and how you think about the business. It's not just about you anymore. It really does turn into the business. So, yeah. You know, I like what you said about like, what is your vision, right? If you are thinking about how can I grow and scale, you're saying that first things first, get the stuff that's in your head and how you do things, sort of get that onto paper or, you know, some type of a standard operating procedure so you could turn some of that stuff over to someone. When you hired your first person, you had the vision that you wanted to go from freelancer to agency. Was the first person that you, who was the first person that you hired or what role? Yeah.
I hired a virtual assistant because I started scaling and I realized that I was hitting capacity in terms of time. Yeah. And this beautiful woman sent me a cold email, which I have like 40,000 unread emails. So the fact that I opened her email just speaks for itself. And she was incredible. And what I liked about hiring a virtual assistant first was that she wasn't just a social media manager. She wasn't just, you know, she was able to take different tasks off my plate so I could identify like, oh, that really opens me up to generate more revenue, or that saves me so much time. And like, it just helps me grow my business. So I was able to kind of dabble with what does my business really need first and foremost? And I'm still very close with her. And I'm just amazing. So grateful that somehow she ended up in my inbox because she changed my life.
Yeah. And I think that as women, sometimes we have trouble thinking that we need to get someone to help us. I mean, of course, in our business, you cannot scale beyond yourself, right? You definitely need help. But I think sometimes we wait too long to hire help like you're describing. So some of the mistakes, let's talk about some of the mistakes that you made early on, because I'm also wondering, you know, from the time that you decided, hey, I want to, you know, take this bigger, how long did it sort of take you to scale to that seven figures? And what did that look like for you from how you had to transform? And then how did you sort of hire the people that you knew that you needed to? What did that all look like? Because it seems like a whirlwind.
Yeah. And I am not the overnight success. If you look at my social media, it's like this. I didn't just snap my finger and become a seven-figure entrepreneur. Like, this took a lot of time. It took a lot of heartache, took a lot of personal development and growth. Mm-hmm. So it took years and years and years for me to get to seven figures. So I've been doing this since 2017, and it was not just an overnight, like, oh, I just showed up here and all of a sudden everything's worked out. I think stepping into leadership was really difficult for me. Mm-hmm. I hate to make this all about being a woman, but I think as a woman, I felt that it was difficult showing up and setting my expectations really clearly with other people because I was worried about being labeled a bitch or asking for that help and really expecting that help. Like, if I asked somebody to do something and they weren't doing it, I would just run in and do it.
Yeah.
And then be frustrated, but just continues happening if you don't set expectations and are really clear with people. So, I mean, I've had everything from not setting boundaries with clients, not charging enough. I was at six figures overnight, basically lost every one of my clients because of all of these weird different things happened. One CFO hired me and he got fired. So everybody that he hired was let go. Like, all of these things happened all at once that I just had to like laugh and look at the universe and be like, okay, God, like, what is this message that you're sending me? Because what is going on right now? And that message was, you need to set really good boundaries. You need to know what you offer and you need to charge way higher, because when you're working with low paying clients, what I found is they micromanage and they breathe down your back and they want you to do things their way. They don't trust you. They don't see you as an expert. And it's just a lot to manage. So I was actually able to bounce back from like 1200 to over 18K in 60 days. And once I had that, I was like, okay, I understand how to close high ticket. I understand what services are driving results for clients. I have a really good client result, like, process and results and everything like that. And then I was like, okay, let's go. We're ready. And at that point, it still took a few years. And I think for me, I had to balance my personal life as well. My dad was really sick. We lost my dad during the last 7 years. And I was really grateful though to have my own business because he was single and I'm the only girl. So like, I was able to take him all of his doctor's appointments. I was able to rearrange my schedule. And I think if I had a 9-to-5, I wouldn't have. So it hasn't been all roses, but it's been an amazing journey and I'm grateful for every day.
I am so sorry to hear about your dad. That just absolutely sucks, but it does seem like there was a little bit of a gift in there. And mm-hmm. I love your story because, I mean, clearly you have a very resilient attitude, right? You are able to sort of look at something that could stop someone and you say, what's the lesson here? And then adjust, right? Not just do the same mm-hmm. thing that got you to that place, but adjust. And I think that so many people that are listening can relate to everything that you're saying. I mean, we do need to transform ourselves as business owners, and we do need to understand that we can deliver value. And if others, clients, people that are working for us don't see that, then they're not for us. But sometimes those decisions are just, you know, they're just so hard. And especially when you've hired someone or you've gotten a client and you're truly grateful for the fact that you have the client and then it turns into something else, it's so hard to unwind that for so many reasons. And it's terrible that you had to go through like losing everything, you know, in one felt swoop. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, that's really interesting. So interesting, because in a way, that's what you did with like, okay, you were working at a corporate job. I'm done. You just cleared the decks. And then the decks were cleared for you. But when those decks got cleared for you, it allowed you to go to that next level. So it almost seems like that's your, you know, way of being. Clear the decks, go to the next level. Clear the decks, go to the next level. Which I love. It's fun.
I love that too. You know, what I'm navigating right now is like how not to clear the decks and go to the next level with a team. How do you pivot? And how do you adapt to what the market is and change your business model? I have to tell you, I am so lucky to have like the best team in the world, and I have the best support system in the world. And I'm like, okay, we're going to pivot, but I don't want to clear the deck inside. So let's try and do it a different way.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you have a great base to operate from. And so maybe instead of clearing the decks, maybe it's just starting something that is brand new, like over here that, you know, hasn't been done before. So it is kind of, you know, clean to keep the analogy going, but it's not that you are going to burn down what you already have. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, when you say that if you feel comfortable sharing, what are you pivoting into?
Oh my goodness. My vision is so crystal clear, which feels so amazing. There's so much that we want to do, to live events, doing more retreats, writing a book, like all of these different things. And we're not there quite yet, but eventually also, like, I think it's really important that we have a niche. That's what has allowed us to be really successful. But at a certain point, our impact is going to flow over just freelancers and just agency owners. And I see myself really supporting all female entrepreneurs at a certain point that have, because I've done agency and now I've done coaching and I've done SaaS in my previous life and like so many different areas that I think at some point we're going to take a step back. And I see it right now happening, you know, in the universe, God, whoever you believe in is sending you little signs. I'll have friends that are like, hey, I'm doing this. Can you help me with this? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And hey, I'm doing this. Can you help me with this? So I'm getting those signs that like, hey, your impact can start to expand a little bit, which is exciting and wonderful. So I feel grateful.
It is. I love this. And, you know, everything that you just said is completely up my alley for She Leads Media with our live events. We help people start podcasts. We help people write books. And it's not just people, right? We probably would help whoever came to us if they had a really compelling story to tell. We focus on helping women entrepreneurs. And women entrepreneurs definitely do not get the visibility that I believe that we deserve. We are so damn brilliant, and we are just not in the media in the way that I think that we should be, that I think is reflective of the world. And there are so many women entrepreneurs, and we need to figure out how to do this entrepreneurial thing better, differently, and better. And the fact that you were able to get over the $1 million mark is rare. It is rare. What is it? Less than, you know, I don't even know what the statistic was. It two? It's two, right? I was like, 2%, I'm like, I can't even say that. Less than 2%. I know. Like, wait, is it 2 or 4? Less than 2%. of women are able to make it past the $1 million mark. And I have a little bit of a theory as to why. And that theory is that we look at patterns of successful businesses and we say, okay, this is how a business is successful. Let me do that. But the issue is that those businesses are typically started by men. So here we are, trying to start something new and different and following the same pattern that made a man's business successful. It's not going to work for us. So we need to figure out what is the template that allows us to get past that $1 million mark. And it's not this getting past that, it's not for vanity purposes. The more that we can be successful, it's just proven that women, when they have money to spend, that they spend it on community, economic development, we make the world a better place. And so I think that that's why it's so important to like really learn, like, what do we need to do? And maybe we need to unlearn, right? But like, what do we really need to do in order to grow those businesses 7 figures, 8 figures, more, right?
Yeah, I love that.
So good.
We are so aligned. I have this sign behind me that says, have your cake and eat it too. I'm like, that's my mission for women, to show them how they can have an amazing business and be the best mom that they want to be. They don't have to go into a 9-to-5, or women without children that just want to travel the world and make a good living. Like, we can have our cake and eat it too. And I absolutely align with everything that you just said. I think for me, I've built businesses exactly like mentors and coaches and men that I've seen in the industry. And I feel like that's not where our superpower is.
It's not
really listening to ourselves of what feels good to me. Like, what do I think makes sense? Rather than listening to everybody else and giving our authority away, creating an inner trust with ourselves is so critical to really stepping into your next level.
So good. And it's amazing. It sounds so good. And it's so challenging because we are, we're socialized to people please, and we are so removed from ourselves. So it's like, first things first, like, what do we need to do in order to like listen to that inner wisdom? Because it's definitely there. And we do have other superpowers, like you're saying. And it's like, how do we monetize those superpowers? Because those are not the things necessarily that have been valued in the past in the world of business. So, I mean, Lucy, like, what can we do to demonstrate that, like, hey, this is possible and this is the new way? Like, what does that look like? Like, yes, there's intuition. What else is there?
I think one of the most important things that I see so often with women that we work with is keeping promises to ourselves. I feel like that's a very small piece of it, but it has incredible results. We are the first people, like, I ask my clients, I'm like, would you say you're a good friend? Would your friends say you're a good friend? And they're like, they get defensive. They're like, of course, I'm the best friend. I'm the best daughter. I'm the best sister, this, that. And I'm like, okay. And are you a good friend to yourself? And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, do you keep promises to yourself, right? Like, if you say you're going to work out 3 times a week, is that the first thing that once you get busy, you're going to cut? They're like, yeah. I'm like, so if you made a promise to your best friend that you were going to meet her for a walk tomorrow at 9 a.m., would you just throw off your alarm and sleep through it? And they're like, no, of course not. And when we make commitments and we're constantly breaking commitments to ourselves, that deteriorates our self-confidence. And so that is such a small thing that we can do to build confidence in ourselves, which will then allow us to start listening to ourselves, start trusting ourselves, start believing in ourselves. And I just think that is such a launch pad. It's such a simple thing to do. It's difficult to do. Obviously, we've been conditioned to like, oh, don't worry about yourself, worry about everybody else. But if you can make that one change, I truly believe it will change your life.
Oh my gosh. I think this is so good. I mean, I almost want to like challenge everybody who's listening, like, yeah, make promises to yourself and keep them, because we do. That's the first thing to go, oh, I wanted to do this, but my son needs me for that. My husband needs me for that. My friend needs me for that. And we trash on ourselves. I mean, even in our heads, we are so mean to ourselves for like the losers that we are, right? And meanwhile, we're not losers. Our friends tell us how amazing we are all the time. And we're like, shut up, right? It's terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think meditation is also something that's amazing. And I know when I first started with it, I was like, I can't meditate. You want me to sit still and not think of anything for 30 minutes? You're out of your mind. But I found breath work, which to me is an active meditation, which I love. I've done a lot of Joe Dispenza things, and I went to his retreat last year, which was incredible. But that also silences you and allows you to center a little bit. So I think it allows your body to deliver messages to you or your mind or whatever that you can be like, oh, I didn't think of that before. I think we can solve a lot of our own problems if we just are conscious of what our body's telling us.
See, this is okay. I love that we're going here because I do think that this is something that women can relate to in a real way. And it doesn't seem like this is what makes you successful, right? It's like, oh, push aside and grind, grind, grind. No, it's the opposite. Go inside, get quiet, seek the answers. I was actually just listening yesterday when I was driving into and out of the city, I was listening to Jay Shetty. And he said the exact same thing about the more quiet we get, it's where the answers are. It's where the wisdom is. And I do think that that can become a business superpower because we also know, we'll know what feels good to us in our business. And so we're not going to do things in our business that we're going to resent ourselves and resent the business for that. And we do. I as much as I want to say, like, you got to separate your own self from the business in order to let the business grow, at a certain point you do. But I think as women, we're starting businesses that are so personal to us in some way. Like, we all have a story about our business and we are so tied to it.
Yeah, it's our baby.
It is. Yeah, and even, it's so funny. I'm really good friends with this, with a woman. She's brilliant. She's a therapist. And I'm meeting her tomorrow for a 9 a.m. walk, which is so funny that you just said
love.
That.
Yeah.
But she, one of her pieces of advice, and I feel like I say it like every day, she says that you should not be talking about your business as your baby. So your business is not your baby. It's actually there to help and support you. Right. And so it, everything that Lucy, you and I are talking about, it's about our mind, right? And our mind is so powerful. And I think too, if as women, we can absorb the message that it is very possible for us to get past the $1 million mark, I think even something like that can set us up for success.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I always use a quote, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are correct, right? And I tell people my goals all the time and they're like, you're insane. And I'm like, okay, you can think I'm insane, but like I 100% believe in my audacious goals. So like, I'm going to stay in my lane and you stay in yours.
And we need more women to say like, whether you think I'm crazy or not, this is, you know, what I'm doing. And instead of us shrinking, like, oh my God, like I better change my goals. Cause this person, random person that doesn't really care about my life is telling me that I'm crazy. And we need to be crazy because we're really not crazy. We're not.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. And the more of us doing things like this, getting those messages out, doing everything that we can to say, this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm doing it. And I want to show other women how to do it too. We just need more of that in the world. So I love what you're doing and I appreciate you so much. It's so inspiring. I'm so jazzed up from this conversation. I want to like go out and I don't know what, do something crazy.
Yes. Do something crazy. Dream big. Start with dreaming big.
I want to run up the hill. I have a hill. My house is on a hill. I want to go run out the hill. Oh my gosh. So I have, it's so funny as you're talking, I'm thinking, gosh, I know this woman. I know that woman. I know that one. You know, I know people that have agencies that are struggling. I know people that are starting an agency, but they're stumbling in order to like scale it appropriately. How can these women that I have in my mind and other women that are listening in that want to go from freelancer or consultant to agency, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I love that. I am super active on Instagram at the Lucy Vincent. So that's always an amazing place. And then we also have a Facebook group. It's called Female Social Media Managers and Agency Owners. And we're about 34,000 members right now. So wow. That's an amazing place. I know when I first got started, I felt really lonely. Like nobody really understood. I had such, my now husband, my then boyfriend was so supportive. My parents were rooting me on. My friends were rooting me on, but they didn't get it. They didn't understand when I was like, okay, I did this to me today. They'd be like, I think you should deal with that this way. But they hadn't, they couldn't be like, yeah, that's happened to me before. So community is extremely important to me. So those two, I try and provide as much value as possible in both of those communities. And our team might reach out to you. There's obviously paid ways to work with us, but I just think it's really important that you have the support of community that you need. So I would tell you to go to one of those two places and just soak up the knowledge.
I love it. Thank you so much, Lucy. This has been so inspirational. I'm totally energized. I'm going to go out and just do something extraordinary today, and I'll let you know what that is. Yes. I do challenge our audience to really think about what is in their hearts and to make promises and keep promises to themselves, like you talked about, especially because I think all of your conversations, there's so much wisdom and insight in there. And it sounds like it's like the linchpin for at least the beginning of the success that we want. So thank you for that nugget of gold and everything else that you shared with us here today. Thank you so much for being a guest on the She Leads podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am super honored. I hope this was valuable. If anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy to answer any questions. I'm pretty much an open book. So I really loved our time together. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Okay, bye.
Bye.
This and all of our episodes are brought to you by the She Leads Podcast Network, the podcast network for women by women. Thanks so much for listening to the She Leads Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support us, please share it with others, make a personalized post about what you took away on social media, and please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. This helps our guests and our show to continue to gain visibility and traction. To learn more about how She Leads Media helps women to gain visibility, you can follow us on Instagram at She Leads Media, or you can head on over to SheLeadsMedia.com. If you'd like to network with me and other amazing women, don't forget to join us each year for the She Leads Live conference. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon. The She Leads Podcast Network.